he comes up, brings the word today.
Love you, man.
Love you, Pastor Bill. You hear that feedback when we hug? That was the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Good morning, Victory. Yeah, that was cheesy, wasn't it? Good morning, Victory Church. Love you. Did everyone survive their turkey coma? I see you all woke up from it. Good. Praise the Lord. I love the nap that you can take after all that turkey on Thanksgiving. It was a great time. My wife and I got to go up to Alabama for Thanksgiving. So that was an interesting drive up there and back. And I got to see family that I hadn't seen in over a decade. It was very interesting. People that I didn't know very well, but we stayed in a lake house all together. Yeah, beautiful view, interesting relationship dynamics. I'll put it that way. But it really was a great time. They had never met my beautiful wife, Lelaine, or our awesome little baby boy, Gabriel. But they just had a blast, and we had a blast. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm also thankful for this opportunity to speak. Real quick, before I forget, if there are sermon notes in your worship guide, and you can follow along with the message. If you have not received a worship guide or there aren't sermon notes in there, raise your hand. The ushers will bring them by to you, an extra copy. Raise them up high until they bring it to you, and you can follow along. But this is going to be a great time. God did lay this on my heart. The title is Thankful for My Identity in Christ. And I want to give a shout out to Jenny Sanjana, also, who part of our creative team at the church. She designed this slide. If you notice, there's a thumbprint, but if you notice, yeah, you can give her a hand. Give her a hand. She's amazing. Thank you, Jenny. Awesome. Our whole creative team is amazing. But you see that thumbprint, and there's a cross in there. I'll explain that a little bit later. But I love that. Thankful for my identity in Christ. Has anyone ever had your identity stolen? Any experience that hardship, that terrible tragedy, that is terrible when that happens. It is absolutely horrible. Did you know that there was a person in Atlanta, Georgia, no one stole his identity? Well, in a sense, they did. They beat him up so bad. This was in 2003, 2004. They beat him up so bad, they left him naked behind a Burger King. And he was found by a worker. He was beaten up so bad, he had amnesia. He completely forgot his name, who he was, no identity. I mean, he could not tell anyone who he was. Imagine how scary that is. You come to church one day, right? You have a life, you have friends, you have relationships. Maybe you have a career, and you have your life is going in one direction. And then all of a sudden, boom, one day you wake up, and you don't remember any of that. That's scary. That's tragic. I mean, this guy, I was researching him. They called him BK, BK, the Doe, yeah, John, okay, so BK Doe, based on John Doe, because the hospital couldn't ID him, but he was found behind a Burger King, so they call him BK, and it was just scary. He's been on Dr. Phil tried to help him out, nationwide. The FBI tried to help him out, did fingerprint analysis, DNA analysis, could not track down his family, couldn't track down anyone. I mean, this was scary. But don't you know that the devil is trying to steal our identities every day? It's just, it may not be this severe, but he's chipping away at it ever since we were born. The devil has a plan to steal your identity, to beat it out of you, to lie to you, to feed you a bunch of lies from childbirth, that you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not smart enough. You're always a failure. You always will be a failure. You're not going to make it. How many of you know he's a liar? He is a liar. He's actively trying to steal your identity. Why? Because he hates God, and you're his children. You're God's children. He can't attack God because he lost that battle. He was cast down as a renegade angel. He was cast down, and he didn't win that battle. So instead, he's going to try to attack God's children. How many know if you want to attack me, you're going to attack my wife or my little baby boy. You're going to attack family to get to me. Well, you attack God by attacking God's children, and that's the devil's plan. Hope you all are aware of that this morning. He uses the opinions of other people to attack us. He tries to get us to be resentful and bitter and angry and shameful and feeling guilty about stuff that we've done in the past. If he can do all that and get all that in you, he has stolen your identity and you are not able to accomplish everything that God has called you to accomplish and to really be free. He's put all that in you. He uses media and culture like crazy. How many? I mean, you see advertisements, and you don't look like that person on TV. You don't. But if you buy that product, you may. Wear those clothes, get that haircut. You may have the success that you see up there, and you can be like everyone else, successful. Everyone else is not successful in that sense. We're all unique. We all have a unique identity in Christ. The devil puts thoughts into your mind. Here's how he works. He sows a seed into your mind, and if he can get you to believe it, he doesn't even have to come back to you and say it anymore because you say it to yourself over and over again. And the more you say it and meditate on it, the more it becomes your identity, masking your true identity, what God wanted you to be. So how do we discover what our true identity is? You got to go to the one who created you. You got to go back. What are the manufacturer's specifications for you? I'll say it that way. I mean, God, he uniquely designed you. Everyone has unique fingerprints on their hands. Unique. If you want to be ID'd and have like really top security, you're going to get all your 5 fingerprints mapped out and in a system for security. U.S. government does that. You got to go to the one who created you to find out your true identity. There's this French mathematician named Blaise Pascal. Have you ever heard that name? If you took middle school and high school science, you probably heard of Pascal. French mathematician, physicist, inventor, writer in the 1600s. He died young. He was 39 years old when he passed away. So half the life expectancy, actually. But he accomplished so much in his time here on Earth. How did he do it? He knew his true identity. And there's this quote, I'm sorry I don't have it up on the screen, but I'll read it out to you. Listen carefully to what Blaise Pascal said about discovering your true identity. He said this, quote, "Not only do we know God through Jesus Christ, but we know only ourselves through Jesus Christ. We only know life and death through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot know the meaning of our life, the meaning of our death, the meaning of God, or the meaning of ourselves. It is only in Christ." Yeah. Pascal, French mathematician, 1600s. But he did great things in this world, and he knew his identity. His identity was found in Christ. Don't you know in the Bible there are many references to Christians, but the number one reference is actually, there's this phrase, in Christ. In fact, the term Christian is only found 3 times in the Bible. Did you know that? 3 times. In Christ is found almost 100 times in the Bible. And about 35 of those times, it directly refers to your identity, describes your identity. Now, I don't have time to go through all 35 of those verses today. I won't do that. But there is one verse that is just amazing, and I believe it maps out the 5 fingerprints of your identity. This is really cool. 5 fingerprints of your identity in Christ. It's in 1 Peter. You can look at it in your notes. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 9. "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Would you underline chosen? Underline royal priesthood? Underline holy? A people belonging to God. You can underline that too. I have it up on the screen highlighted. You can underline it. This is important. Next verse, "that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." He called you. Go and underline that. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God." You can underline people of God. "Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Underline that word, mercy. These are key points. This will help us identify your fingerprints, your 5 fingerprints, and your identity in Christ. And you can write this down. The first one is this: in Christ, I am completely accepted. I am completely accepted. I'll say it this way: God does not reject you. Maybe you walked in here and you felt this. I mean, you can't go a year in this life without feeling the sting of rejection from someone. You know, social media has made it very easy, actually, to reject people very quickly and often and daily and even every second if you read all the comments. So it's a world that seems to turn on each other a lot. But guess what? God will never turn on you. You are completely accepted in Christ. That's who you are. That's who you are. 1 Peter 2:9, it says this, you have been chosen by God himself. He chose you. He chose you. You've been chosen by God himself. How can we say this? Why? Why am I completely accepted? There's two reasons in your notes. Because, first one, God chose me before everything. God chose me before everything. Before the foundations of the world, before he created the world, he had you on his mind. He knew he was going to create you. The color of your eyes, your skin color, your height, your teeth, your smile, your ears. Gabriel has my ears. I've determined that. He has my ears. He has Lolaine's nose. But God knew him before even the world was created. We see it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight by his love. And the second reason that we can say we're completely accepted is because Jesus made me acceptable. Jesus made me acceptable. Titus 3, verse 7 says this, Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. Jesus made us acceptable. I'm going to reference what Jesus did on the cross a lot in this message because that everything hinges on what he did. It shows us when he gave up his life for us, he revealed just how much he accepted us, how much he desired. Sin separates us from him, but he did something to conquer sin, to wash our sins away so there would not be a barrier because he wanted to accept us again, bring us back. We are completely accepted because Jesus has made us acceptable. That's so awesome. I love it. The second fingerprint. First one is this, you've been completely accepted. The second one is this, in Christ, I'm extremely valuable. I'm extremely valuable. I'll say it this way, you are not worthless. You are not worthless. You have value. The devil may have lied to you a lot. Your family may have lied to you. Maybe you grew up in an abusive home and you heard terrible things from your parents that told you you're nothing. You never amount to anything. You'll always be that way. Those are lies from the pit of hell. You are extremely valuable to God. Extremely valuable. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You belong to God. When God says you're holy, that means you are valuable. If you study the Old Testament, everything that he designated as holy was extremely valuable. It means set apart for that special, unique purpose from God. Set apart. Valuable. You belong to God. There are two ways that you can assess value to something. Two ways that you can assess value to something. You can look at who owns it. All right, who owns it? I played Little League Baseball when I was a kid, and I had baseball bats, different kinds of baseball bats. If I tried to sell one of those baseball bats on eBay, I said, this bat was owned by Mike Foreman. How much do you think it would sell for? Probably not that much. I said, Mike, who? But if I had a bat on eBay selling, and I said, this bat was owned by Babe Ruth, authenticated, and you had all the documentation and everything, this bat was owned by Babe Ruth. How many know that would sell for a lot, right? Because who owns it designates the value. My question is today, who owns you? Who owns you? The God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, owns you. And he has assigned great value to you because of who he is. He owns you. He owns you. Second thing is, what is somebody willing to pay for you? What is somebody willing to pay? Because I can offer up something, but you know, you can look at the value of a home. Everyone thinks the home that you live in is, if you're a homeowner, you think, wow, it's really valuable. I could sell this for this amount. Can you? It all depends on what someone's willing to pay, right? What is someone willing to pay for it? Let's look at this. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, you are a people holy to the Lord, your God, his treasured possession. You belong to him. You're holy. You're treasured by God. Isaiah 43, 4 says, God says, you are precious to me. Precious. Precious. Maybe you weren't told that growing up, that you're precious. But God says that about you. You're precious to him. Why am I extremely valuable? Two reasons. Write it down. Because God is my father. God is my father. You know why Gabriel, my son, is so valuable to me? He's my son. And I'm his dad. And you're a child of God. If you believe in Jesus, you're a child of God. And God is your father. That makes you extremely, extremely valuable to him. Luke 12:24 says this. Look at the birds. Look at them. They're a bunch of lazy animals that just poop everywhere. It's my version. That's my version. Look at the birds. God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than any birds that poop on your car. Okay? Glory to God. They're on the God's welfare system. That's what they are. Trust me, they are. They don't do anything, really. Chirp and poop. But God loves them and provides for them. How much more valuable are you than a bunch of birds? Way, way more valuable. Why? Because you're a child of God. Second reason is this, because Jesus gave his life for me. Because Jesus gave his life for me. You want to understand how valuable something is? What did someone pay for that? Well, God the Father paid for you with the blood of his son, Jesus. That's, the blood of his son paid for you. Jesus gave his life for you. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you have been bought and paid for by Christ. So you belong to him. You belong to God. What I love this is nothing can separate you from God. He values you so much. You can't do anything that he may not approve of everything that we do, but he's always going to accept us and value us no matter what we do. And I love that about God. Third fingerprint. Okay, so the first one is we're what? Accepted. Second fingerprint, we're valuable. And third fingerprint is this. In Christ, I am eternally loved. I'm eternally loved. God does not hate you. I'll say it again. God does not hate you. He is not mad at you. You may have made mistakes in the past, but that does not define you when you are in Christ. In Christ, you are loved. You know what the Bible says about love? Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude. Everything that I've done in my life that I regret, God says, I love you. In spite of all that, I love you. Let me tell you, this love is unconditional love. A lot of people say when they're in a relationship, I love you because. I love you because you complete me. I love you because, you know, you have a beautiful smile. I love you because you're beautiful. It's like, wait a second, what happens when they get older and their beauty fades? You're going to stop loving that person? What happens if they have some type of, issue and they're no longer the person that they were when you married them? Are you going to stop loving them? God says no matter what you go through, he loves you irregardless. When I made a commitment to my wife, Lelaine, when we got married, I said I love her unconditionally. So she can go through any stage of her life, which, by the way, babe, you're more beautiful every day. I just want to make that clear. You are gorgeous. Amen. Come on. But listen, I am not as skinny as I used to be. When I got married, I was a bit thinner, a bit in better shape. But listen, love is unconditional. A person can go through all kinds of changes in their life. But God says, I love you no matter what those changes are. I love you unconditionally and eternally. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. It says, once you are not a people, but now you are the people of God. You are the people of God. He loves you. This isn't in your notes, but it'll be on the screen. Hebrews 2:11. So you can write it in your margin. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. He says, Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. You are eternally loved because you are in God's family. And Jesus considers you a brother and sister. He's not ashamed of you. So we walk up to him in heaven. He says, hey, bro. Hey, sis, how you doing? Yeah, he considers us his brothers and sisters. That's how much he loves us. We're part of the family. You love your family, no matter what. I loved my family this week, no matter what. Jeremiah 31:3 says this. I'll keep going. I have loved you, my people. My people. I have loved you with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I love that about God. So write this down. Why am I eternally loved? This is crucial. Because God is love. Why am I eternally loved? You can put that up on the screen. Because God is love. That's why I'm eternally loved. Because God is, it's his nature. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this, God's love is eternal and his faithfulness lasts forever. I love that about God. Eternal love. Amen. Amen. Our fourth fingerprint is this. So you're accepted, you're valuable, you're loved. Fourth fingerprint. In Christ, I am totally forgiven. Totally forgiven. I'll say it this way. God does not hold a grudge. He does not keep a list of things that you have done. And every now and then, he pulls it up and goes, remember this? Remember that? Let me tell you, if you struggle with remembering stuff from your past that you feel guilt and shame over when you think about it, that is not from God. That is from the pit of hell. That is Satan trying to condemn you. That's Satan trying to condemn you. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to your life to help you become more like Christ. Conviction lifts you up and lifts your spirits and gives you courage and strength to persevere in faith. Condemnation comes from the devil, and that beats you down with shame and guilt and depression and keeps you low. It keeps you low. So I don't know what you went through this week. Maybe Thanksgiving for you was a great experience, or maybe Thanksgiving and this holiday season just reminds you of stuff that you regret. I feel you. I know that feeling. God knows that feeling. Jesus understands what you're going through. But remember this truth. You are totally forgiven, no matter what you have done. You are totally, totally forgiven. God does not hold a grudge. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, in that first passage, at one time you did not know God's mercy. There was a time you didn't know how much God loves you and how much God wants to forgive you. But now that you are in Christ, you have received his mercy. That's something to be thankful for. You have received his mercy. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When the devil tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. He's going to be cast in the lake of fire. Come on, I've read the back of the book. He's going to be cast in the lake of fire. And he loses everything. We gain everything. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means we inherit heaven. We inherit all of God's kingdom, all the blessings of God. We inherit that. If the devil tries to, you know, play dirty by reminding you of your past, you remind him of his future and say, not so, Satan. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I am totally forgiven. Totally forgiven. How can we say that? Why? There are two reasons. You write it down. Because it is God's nature to forgive. This is who he is. Because it is God's nature to forgive. I love that about studying God's word. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a daily Bible reading, do it. Start one. It's on our website under the resources page, victorychurchgainesville.com. It's so important to get some type of daily Bible reading, because the more you study God's word, the more you learn about his nature. The more you study God's word, the more you learn about his nature and who he truly is, because the devil is constantly trying to lie to us, to steal our identity, and to steal the true definition of who God really is. It is part of God's nature to forgive. He says, if you have sinned, just confess your sin to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin completely. He'll wash it away. Never to be remembered against you again. Tossed into a sea of forgetfulness. As far away as the east is from the west. You know how far away that is? Infinite, because that doesn't even make sense. They never touch. They never touch. That's why the Holy Spirit wrote that. It's as far away as the east is from the west. They never touch. So when God forgives you, he separates you from your sin infinitely, meaning he doesn't even remember it against you. He doesn't have short-term memory loss. It's just he doesn't remember it against you. Totally forgiven, because it's part of God's nature. Isaiah 43:25, I am the God who forgives
your sins. And I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. You notice this is in a passage in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, found in the Old Testament. When I was a young Christian growing up and I'd study the Bible, I'd kind of pick and choose where I read. I didn't have a very good Bible study of the Bible, or consistent, honestly. So I would hear messages and scriptures, and it was all out of context. And I got these, you know, in the Old Testament, there's lots of judgments that God passed that seemed like, whoa, that's harsh. Whoa, that's serious. Like, whoa, God's serious. That's all I thought growing up was, God's serious. And then when Jesus came along, I cherry-picked scriptures, and it seemed like God of the Old Testament, angry. God of the New Testament, happy. God of the Old Testament, judgment. God of the New Testament, mercy. No, he's always been merciful. He's always been a forgiving God. I did a chronological study of the Bible one year when I was in college. I'm so glad. I encourage all, I mean, if you've never done a chronological study of the Bible where you look at the Bible from beginning to end in chronological order, you get to see how patient and loving and merciful and gracious God is with his people. He's always been that way. He has always been that way. It's part of his nature. He says, I will not hold your sins against you. Second reason that we are totally forgiven. Why? Because Jesus paid for my sins. Again, it goes back to what he did on the cross. Jesus paid for my sins and your sins. Ephesians 1:7, for by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God? How great is the grace of God? That's something to be thankful for. How great is his grace? Oh, I love it. Moving on, the fifth fingerprint. So we're accepted, valuable, loved, forgiven, and now in Christ, I am fully capable. I am fully capable. A lot of people struggle with this. Insecurities, doubts. I've talked with guys where they go, I could never be like you, Pastor Mike. You're so confident. No, I'm not. I'm very insecure in a lot of ways, just like everyone in this world is insecure in a lot of ways. We all have insecurities. We've all been fed lies about, you know, you want to know some of the lies I believe? I believe that I would always somehow fail, that I would always somehow fall short of people's expectations. Is that true? No. I'm fully capable in Christ. But I've had to go through a process of revealing all those lies that I picked up along the way and replacing it with the truth of God's word. The truth is, when God calls you to something, he empowers you with his Holy Spirit, and you are fully capable in Christ to accomplish what God has called you to do. That is good, amen? That is good. I'll say it this way, you are not disqualified because you have made mistakes in your past. You are not disqualified. God loves, I wish I had it in the notes, but and I even forget the address in Scripture, but it talks about God loves to take the foolish and weak things of this world, and he uses them to confound those who think they're wise. The ones who think they got the world all figured out, oh, you got to be like this, you got to have this pedigree and that degree and whatever. And God says, no, I'd love to use someone who maybe was homeless at one time. I love to use someone who maybe was addicted to this substance at one time. I love to use someone who maybe murdered someone at one time. You can see it throughout Scripture. He used murderers. He used liars. He used adulterers. He used fornicators. He used people who were sinners. And in Christ, they became something incredible. They were fully capable. Fully capable. You're not disqualified. In Christ, you're fully capable. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are royal priests. So I may ask, how many ministers do you have at Victory Church? About 100, 120. Maybe 70, 80, 90 on a given Sunday show up. Because we're all ministers of God. We're all royal priests. Yes. All of us. Chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When you spend time with God, I encourage you, spend time with God every day. When you spend time with God in that quiet place with God, you get to draw close to him. And you get to experience his glory and his presence and his power. And what that does is it shines on you. It's his wonderful light. And then you can shine that light out to a world that really needs, it's very dark out in this world. And they need the light of Jesus. It's like Moses in the Old Testament. He would go up to the mountaintop with, with God, and the glory was so bright and shiny that when he came down, all the people in the camp couldn't even look at him because his face glowed with the brightness of God's glory. It was reflected off of him. And in the New Testament, it says that we, with unveiled faces, reflect God's glory now as believers in Christ. You're fully capable when you spend time with God. God equips you and empowers you, and there's a glow that happens. It's supernatural. People see and they go, there's something different about you. And they'll ask you about it. They'll see it, and they'll be curious, and they'll want that. You're fully capable. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, it says this, the capacity we have comes from God. It is he who made us capable of serving the new covenant. He made us capable. Why am I fully capable? This is good. Write this down. Because Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ, my hope of glory, lives in me. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Would you say that out loud? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. One more time. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God wants to restore your identity. God wants to restore who you truly are. Peel back all the layers of what the devil put on you and say, you are fully capable to accomplish what I've called you to do. Victory Church, you're fully capable. You're fully capable for our move into Gainesville. You're fully capable to help make that happen. You're fully capable. There are 192,000 plus souls in Alachua County who don't know Christ. You're fully capable to win them over to the Lord. You're fully capable to share your faith in your sphere of influence to your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members. You're fully capable. You're fully capable. God has called you. He's equipped you by his Holy Spirit. Remember that man that I told you about who didn't have an identity in, 2003, 2004? By the grace of God, it took 11 years for him to finally identify who he was. He couldn't do it alone. He did it with other people who were helping him. Let me tell you, that's symbolic of the family of God. We can do it together. We can help each other out, encourage one another, pray for one another. Found out his name, William Burgess Powell, from Indiana, Lafayette, Indiana. He has a brother. They got to meet him. He moved over there. They see each other 3 times a week. I think he may even have a reality TV show in the works because his story is so incredible, but I don't know if it's going to come out or not. It's incredible. But let me tell you, no matter how many years your identity has been masked by the devil, it doesn't matter with God, and we can settle this today. With Christ, you can have your true identity revealed. You are accepted. You are valuable. You are loved. You are forgiven. And you are capable. Amen? Everyone, bow your heads. And let's just press into the presence of God right now and just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. We ask you, God. You know, this is the most important time of the Sunday service, is this time that we get to respond to God and what we just heard. God, we just invite your presence and we ask you to speak to us, God. We repent for believing any lie that the devil has thrown our way, for believing any lie that maybe our parents told us or our coworkers or people that we admire, we wanted to be like, God, just forgive us, God. I want to be who you want me to be, and I accept your truth in Jesus' name. Accept your truth. I want to encourage all of you. Seek God every day. Holy Spirit, keep speaking to us. Maybe in the past you felt like your identity was stolen from you. Maybe you went through some horrible things. You can talk to God about it right now. You can talk to God about it right now. You go to your Creator and you say, God, help me. My identity was stolen. Help me. He'll restore it. Help me, God. I was beaten as a child. Help me, God. That person who raped me, help me, God. That person who molested me, help me, God. That my identity was stolen, help me. Heal me, God. I accept the new identity, the true identity in Christ. Help me, God. Maybe you're here today and you know you're not part of the family of God. You just know you feel distant from God, but you feel God knocking on the door of your heart saying, let me in, let me in. I want to make things right. God wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to be a part of his family. You can have, it's called a free gift of salvation. Jesus did all the work to pay for all of your sins. Because sin separates us from God, keeps us from being part of the family, but that was dealt with over 2,000 years ago on a cross. It was dealt with. If you're here today and you know you've never made that decision to just surrender your life to Christ and be accepted into his family, all it takes is a decision in your heart to ask God to forgive you for your sins, receive that free gift of salvation. He comes and lives on the inside of you. He gives you a new identity. You become a child of God. And everything that I shared today and more is available to you. Maybe you did that in the past. You're here today. You did that in the past, but you know you're not where you want to be with God. Today is a day to make a quality decision and get on the right track. So if any of those two apply to you, you've never made that decision, or maybe you did, but you want to get back on track, would you raise your hand right now? I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But I'm just going to ask you to join me in praying. And we'll all pray together. Go and raise your hand right now and be bold and accept that free gift. Thank you. Be bold. Everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I accept your forgiveness. I surrender my life to you. I give you my whole heart. I give you my whole life. Take it. I'm yours, and you are mine. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you that I'm part of the family of God. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Victor Church, give God praise for what he did this morning.